Welcome to a podcast of a sermon delivered at the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood in New Jersey. Our congregation is a place where you will find inspiration in the richness of diverse beliefs and the power of community. Detailed information about the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood is available on our website, uuridgewood.org.
My wife and I flew back from our hometown of Portland, Oregon, to New York City on a red-eye flight on the eve of New Year's this year. After my wife and I retrieved our baggage, we waited our turn for a taxi in 5-degree weather. After the 20-minute wait, we got in the cab, and I'm no scientist, but I think molecularly we were both frozen solid at that point. And as we enter the cab, I look through the thick plexiglass separating the back seat from the front, and my eyes catch on a flyer that has been taped to the dashboard. It reads, "Madam Gloria's Jamaican Psychic Shop in Jamaica, Queens. There is always time to begin again in the new year!" Exclamation point. "New clients welcome. Tea provided, free." A few things struck me about this flyer while I was freezing cold in that cab. The first was how much I would pay at that particular moment for some tea, probably in the millions. The second was how brilliant it was to have a Jamaican psychic working in Jamaica, Queens. Like, was that a coincidence or a branding decision? Who knows? The third thing that struck me was that middle line. There is always time to begin again in the new year. Theologically, I doubt that I have much in common with Madame Gloria or her patrons. But my God, in that moment, getting into that cab, into that new space of warmth, her promise of new beginnings spoke deeply to me. And perhaps she is right in her implication that a new year is a great time to embrace those new beginnings. The new year means many different things to many different people. In fact, depending on your religious or cultural orientation, you might not celebrate the new year at all, at least the secular one. For example, the Jewish New Year of Rosh Hashanah has a date that changes annually, depending on the lunar calendar. In Midrash, the Jewish teachings, the Jewish New Year is traditionally understood as marking the anniversary of the creation of Adam and Eve. Some more liberal Jewish traditions interpret it more symbolically, saying that it marks the holy arrival of humanity into God's world. To celebrate during this holiday, most Orthodox Jewish communities blow a ram's horn, called a shofar, and eat apples dipped in honey to celebrate and publicly announce wishes for a sweet new year. The Islamic New Year similarly follows a lunar calendar. And in fact, in most Islamic states, it's a religious holiday, but it's mostly a public holiday, where some people celebrate it prayerfully, some people celebrate it as a full-on celebration, but a lot of people take it as a day off, although they still attend prayers. The secular calendar, as we know it today, springs from the Roman calendar created in 45 BCE by Julius Caesar. And then in 1582, Pope Gregory reformed it again and collapsed the Julian calendar with the Eastern sciences and astronomy to create the calendar that we have today. This is what we use to measure our months and to mark when our secular new year begins. So around the world now, people celebrate the secular new year in a large variety of ways. What foods are eaten, what traditions are followed, what the meaning of the day is in the first place, they vary radically depending on the country, on the culture, on the family, on the individual. For example, I know someone who celebrates the new year every year by watching Netflix by himself and going to bed at 10 p.m. It's his tradition, since Netflix has existed. I don't know what he did before that. I know another man who travels every year to go to India to visit his friends and to light fireworks. I know others still who go to Times Square every year without fail and stay out until the early morning, ringing in the new year, trying to get on stage for Dick Clark's rocking New Year's. I just recently learned they still call it that even after Dick passed away, which I think is great. The point is, there is an infinity of ways to experience a new year. And we have options. We have options in how and when we celebrate a new year, yes, but more importantly, we have options as to what significance we ascribe to the event. Because it seems to me the one thing that every type of celebration of a new year has in common is that it is marking the coming of something new. In a new year, there is always an invitation for a new beginning in our lives. In every new year, there is an invitation for us to live into the world in a new way. Earlier in the service, we each wrote New Year's resolutions on sheets of cardstock. These resolutions are, by definition, aspirations. They're promises to ourselves of how we would like to be in the world, how we would like to respond to this invitation the new year is providing us. Specifically, our New Year's resolutions are our affirmation that this new year is providing us with new possibilities. And in this year, we're looking forward to 2018. What do we promise ourselves to do, to be, to act, to experience in 2018? But in order to look into what we are resolving to do and to be in 2018, we must spend a moment looking back at the year that's passed, 2017. And I don't know about you, but my 2017 was a mixed bag. On the one hand, I got married. I got ordained as a Unitarian Universalist minister. My grandfather reached a milestone birthday. And on the other hand, it was the first anniversary of my father's death. And another family member of mine fell quite ill. And meanwhile, the political landscape in our country grew more divisive and divided, and truth became harder to come by. As a country, we entrenched our desire to engage in an arms race. And for many, this culture of fear, it took its toll emotionally. In fact, a recent poll by Newsweek says that Americans claim they feel more purposeless and emotionally drained at the end of 2017 than when it began. And I know, in having spoken to many of you, that 2017 was a very difficult year for some of us here at USR. Some of us lost dear friends or family members. Some of us lost jobs. Some of us were hit hard from the political fallout and are still scrambling to make sense of it all. As our reading this morning said, many of us, myself included, are welcoming the new year with a cautious optimism, as a jilted lover might enter a new relationship with our guards up, unsure of whether we can really trust the hope in the newness of the year, but hoping anyway. Because as our reading reminded us, each year is inanimate until we animate it. As Reverend Busey says, 2018 has arrived, whether we want it or not. It has come with an invitation for us, just for us. This is a chance for new beginnings. This is a chance to make this year better than the last. The new year of 2018 has come with a question. How will we respond to its invitation? A main way that many of us respond to the invitation of the new year is through New Year's resolutions, again, like the kind that we wrote earlier in the service. They are these crystallizations of what we hope these new beginnings will lead to. Writing New Year's resolutions is actually a yearly part of my religious life, my spiritual life. And I think that New Year's resolutions have the potential to be powerful and transformative tools in our lives. But like any spiritual tool, they have the potential to be trite and cheesy. I saw some of your faces when I asked you to write resolutions earlier today. I know we have some skeptics in the house. So let's be intentional about the limits of the tool as well. Here are what I see as the three major limits of New Year's resolutions as I experience them being used in our culture. First, generally, our New Year's resolutions are only personal, and they're solely about the individual writing them. I will go to the gym more. I will buy fewer hats. I will spend more time with my family and less time working late at the office. Don't get me wrong, these are great resolutions. They are noble and they're altruistic. But they also have this individual focus. And they often lose the community that nurtures and surrounds that individual. The second limit, New Year's resolutions are generally about what that individual plans on doing. I will take singing lessons. I will save money to pay off my loans. I will bake more cookies for the director of family ministries at the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood. That one, I'm just planting an idea in your head. These doing New Year's resolutions are fine. Again, they're all good, but I'm not sure they take advantage of the immense opportunity that the new year provides us. The third limit. Our New Year's resolutions often fail. One study cites that less than 8% of people who set New Year's resolutions self-report as having any success or progress whatsoever in their resolution. That is a whole lot of affirmations for new possibilities in our lives that we are letting drop. So why do so many New Year's resolutions fail? Most people polled in that study cite that the expectations that they set for their resolution were just far too large. For example, the study states that most people who were regular smokers decided on a resolution that said they aspired to quit smoking cold turkey, which is an incredibly difficult task. In other words, it's easy for us to fall into a resolution where our eyes are bigger than our stomach. And the new beginning in front of us becomes so big that we can't even start engaging in it. So with all these problems with New Year's resolutions, what's the good in them? Is there a good in New Year's resolutions? Should we throw them out entirely? I'm not quite ready to go there, personally. But we should pay attention to these problems because they point to the following truth. A new year is not a promise. It is an invitation. It is an invitation to live into new beginnings. And it is up to us to make good on that invitation. Similarly, these problems are a reminder that a new year is not a clean slate, no matter how much we wish it could be. We each carry every bit of baggage we have into the new year. But then that's the magic of the new year and resolutions. These resolutions give us power, give us a time and a space for us to take stock of all of our baggage and decide what the heck we are going to do with it. So I'm going to push us to stay with New Year's resolutions and wonder, what if? What if, instead of writing resolutions that revolve around me doing something, I wonder what it would be like to write a resolution about me being something new? I wonder what would change in how I act in the world if instead of having my New Year's resolution reading, go to the gym 5 days a week, I wrote it as live a healthy lifestyle, or simply be well. And I wonder if instead of my resolution being an I resolution, what would it be like to write a we resolution? What would it be like for the country of the United States of America to resolve together to be kind to one another this year? What would it look like for the town of Ridgewood to resolve together to create a relationship of mutual collaboration with the town of Patterson? And what would it feel like for the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood to resolve together to go even deeper into living our covenant of love and lean even more into our promise of welcome? What would that feel like? Perhaps changing our resolutions in this way would change nothing. I'm open to that. But perhaps these changes would change everything. And my sense is that if we focus on how we exist in the world instead of what I accomplish, more of our resolutions might be kept. So whether we are ready or not, whether we want it or not, it is the new year. 2018, at this time, where we mark the transition into our uncertain future, because every future is uncertain. There is an invitation here for us to lean even deeper into being our best selves in the world. And even more, there is a chance for this community to embrace new beginnings. And here is the best part. It's up to us. We can dream big. We can dream small. It's up to us. But right now, we have been given an invitation. A calendar year has shifted, and it is beckoning us. The question is, will we accept its invitation? Who do you want to be in the new year? Who do we want to be in the new year? And let us not throw away the resolutions I asked you to write earlier. Instead, let us deepen them. Let us expand them. Let us take them seriously and let us live them out into the world. Because this is the year we have been given. How are we going to animate it? How are we going to love it into being? So be it. I love you. Amen.